Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, a High School National Championship, the College National Championship, and the College Bracket, leading to the Bassmaster Classic. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation Club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. The best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show, is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the watch button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Coming up on this week's episode of Bassmaster Radio, we'll visit with Phoenix Boats Elite Series Pro Clifford Perch from his home in the hills of Arizona. Clifford has a unique take on what is going on in the country right now since he has MS, which makes him particularly vulnerable to the coronavirus. And as he puts it, he was a germaphobe before it was cool to be a germaphobe. So he can deliver the goods on just what you need to do to stay safe in these uncertain times and how to protect yourself against the unwanted germs. Also today, Tennessee Bass Conservation Director Jake Davis joins us to discuss being named Co-Conservation Director of the Year by Gene Gilliland and the Bass Conservation Team. Jake has only held the post for a couple of years, but the Area Fishing Guide has poured his heart and soul into the work while he still tries to get some quality time in on the water. But first up is one of the most unusual rookies on the Bassmaster Elite Series. Former professional poker player Kyle Welsher is in. But that's not the only unique thing about Kyle. He's born and raised just outside of Auburn, Alabama, married an Auburn girl, and yet he rolls with the tide. He'll explain why in our Meet the Elite segments. So grab a cup of coffee and jump on board as we pull this show away from the dock.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and an opportunity now for Meet the Elites to kick off today's show, and we do it with a guy, Kyle Welsher, who is a, you know, he's a young guy. I mean, he's out there doing it now on the Elite Tour, just 25 years old, but he's got an interesting background, and he's going to talk about that a little bit with us here in a moment. Kyle, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
I'm doing fantastic. You know, it's the perfect time of the year to be bass fishing right now, and if we can't go and fish a tournament, at least we can sit around and talk about it.
We can sit around and talk about it, and in some places we can still get on the water, thank God. And I've noticed that the ramps are pretty full at a lot of places. It's a good place to social distance, I think, out there on the water. The only thing you get close to is the fish, hopefully.
Yep, exactly. It's the same way here in my area. People are still fishing in full force. If everything's rolling right now as far as fishing's going.
Yeah. Now, speaking of your area, you're from Opelika. Now, Opelika is Auburn, and it's all War Eagle country over there. But I understand that you're a Roll Tide guy living in enemy territory. Well, talk about that a little bit.
Well, you always got to have a spy here and there everywhere. So I just got just close enough to keep an eye on them down there in Auburn. So definitely a big Roll Tide fan. I really don't have any problems with Auburn or anything like that. My wife graduated from Auburn, and you know, she has a better reason to be a fan than I do because she actually graduated from there. I didn't even finish college at UAB, but anyway, so I don't have any problems with Auburn. But definitely, whenever they're on the field, I'm not a big Auburn fan. I'm not an Auburn fan at all.
Tell me you don't have one of those house divided license plates though on the front of your rig. You're not rolling around with one of those Auburn, Alabama house divided plates, are you?
Absolutely not. No.
Yeah, that's just way uncool. You can't go that route. All right. So you got one Elite Series event under your belt. What was that like? I mean, you finished eighth. You had a hell of a tournament. You finished eighth after qualifying through the Eastern Open Series. I see you out there. I fished the Eastern Opens as well, and I've seen you out there on those. You had a great year last year to get qualified, and then eighth in your first event at the St. John's River, and now you sit around and wait for the next event.
Right. So the St. John's River, this entire year actually has been a year of uncertainty. Even the St. John's River, I mean, we canceled 2 days to start.
Yeah.
The lake drops 2 foot. I mean, 2 foot in Florida is like it dropping 10 foot most places. And then, I mean, everything was changing so fast on the St. John's. I just felt super confident that I was able to get out there and make adjustments and leave there with a good finish. Now, fast forward that to the next week, Chickamauga. I thought that was going to be the one in my wheelhouse. And then, bam, postponed. And then now we've postponed it again. So this year for the elites has been extremely uncertain. And I'm really happy that I was able to go to St. John's and have a good finish, because if I'd have came out of there with a bad finish and then all this happened and all the lakes that were kind of in my strengths are being rescheduled, it'd be a little more nerve-wracking. So luckily, we had a decent finish in the first one, and you know, we're a little bit more calm now than we would be if we had a bad finish.
Well, and if it ends up being a fall circuit for Chick and Eufaula, I don't know so much about Santee Cooper because I don't know so much about Santee Cooper, but I mean, that could be really cool, right? I mean, that's a little different, but that could, I know it could conflict a little bit with the football season, but that could be really cool fishing these lakes in the fall if they do it after, you know, the heat breaks.
It definitely would be very, very cool. I don't remember a big-time professional tournament happening after about September in,
right,
like the last 10 years. So it would be very, very cool. For the way that I typically fish, the fall time of the year is very polarizing for me. I either seem to do really, really well, or I really, really struggle, because I don't like picking up 6- and 8-pound line and grinding for, you know, 5 or 7 bites a day. I really like to fish big baits and fish fast, and in the fall – that can really hurt you, or that can really make you put together a big, big bag. So the fall for me is going to be, it's going to be hit or miss. But I got the confidence we're going to some really good lakes. I think I'll be able to string something together anytime we go there.
Kyle Welcher joining us from his home in Alabama. Now, let's talk about your past a little bit. A poker player, man. I mean, you know, that's kind of like bass fishing, right? You put the money up, and then you go out there, and you're gambling that you're gonna make back your entry fee plus. And talk about your background, though, as a poker player. Have you made a few bucks doing that? And how does it help you mentally to be mentally tough to be out there in these derbies?
So in fishing and in poker, your number one enemy is your ego and your emotions. So you have to keep all that stuff at bay whenever you're making decisions on the water, whenever you're making decisions at the poker table, because if you get aggravated or, you know, too proud or anything like that, that's whenever you start to make big, big mistakes. So staying open-minded. And the thing I like to say is both of these, I guess, sports are about reacting. So whenever you're fishing, you react to the fish and what they're doing. Whenever you're playing poker, you react to your opponents and you try to exploit them. So both times, you're trying to go in there with an open mind and react to the conditions you're given. And that is one thing, that's the biggest, you know, correlation between the two.
Do you have a good poker face, though, when you're, like, at the tanks? You know what I mean? Because the guys are going to, you know, they want to know, like, where you're catching them and what you're catching them on. And everybody's trying to kind of squeeze a little information out of the other guy. Do you have to kind of use that poker face to make sure that, you know, you might be telling the truth, you might not be telling the truth?
Yeah, I try to do what I call dumbing it down, and I might not should say this, but so I might be fishing wood and 6 foot deep on current breaks, you know, on pea gravel banks, and I'll be in there and I'll be like, man, I just started fishing wood, you know, and I just act like it was just you run down the bank and you fish wood whenever it's a lot more dialed in than that. So I do what I call dumbing it down a lot. Just, oh, I just ran across a patch of eelgrass and caught 27 pounds, man. That's just how it works. That's what I do. I dumb it down, act like it's not that serious, and I wasn't really on nothing.
Yeah, there you go. That's the poker player in you. Now, I got to ask you, now you're young, you probably don't even know this song, but like your walk-up music, you know, when that time comes, you're in a classic, you got a little Seeger Ramblin' Gamblin' Man, maybe? I mean, you know, I'm just saying.
It could be, for sure. I would not be opposed to that. I'll tell you what. I don't care what song plays. If I make it to the classic, I'll be happy with whatever they play when I walk up. Let's just get there first, and any song will work.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, being at Gunnersville this past year, I would imagine that being an Alabamian, I imagine that's a place that you spent some time at. Were you surprised at all the way the tournament went and the fact that Hank Cherry was able to kind of run away with it from basically a community hole area, although I like to say with Gunnersville, the whole lake is a community hole, really.
Right. So the surprising thing to me about Gunnersville is I thought there was going to be a lot more 18 to 19-pound bags caught, but the conditions were so extreme. They had so much wind. You know, we got so much rain right before the tournament. Everything was really, you know, changing so fast that I can understand why it was a little bit tougher. But the way that Hank caught, I thought, was what, you know, would have probably won. Not like I know much about Gunnersville. That place kicks me in the teeth every time I go there. But I thought there'd be a lot more 18, 19-pound bags. And to see Hank, you know, kind of find something that obvious to himself and catch those big bags off of it, that's just like what Gunnersville is. It just, there's so many fish there. If you get anything special like that to yourself, the potential's there. And I mean, it was really fun to watch.
Yeah, it was a good tournament to watch. There was no doubt about it. All right, finally, in our last minute, tell us about this Point Blank company. I understand you're building your own rods, and this is the blanks that you like to use.
Yeah, that's my coolest partnership for this year. Is I'm building my own rods for bass fishing. I caught a 10-1 on them at St. John's River and Point Blank out of Foley, Alabama. Point Blank and Fuji Rod Components, they're pretty much the same company. And I'm building my own rods, putting them together. I've made a bunch of YouTube videos on it, and it's a really rewarding thing to do. Is build your own rods and catch big fish on them.
Especially this time of year with being shut down from the tournaments. I'd be building a lot of rods, I would imagine. You'd have a time to do that if you're not playing poker all night, you know?
Yeah, if I had more discipline, I would play poker a little less and build a few more rods. And right now, we have fun playing poker and doing both, and we're just kind of doing whatever.
Kyle Welcher has been our guest in our Meet the Elite segment. Kyle, I know this is going to get going again here at some particular point in time, so we appreciate you doing this, and good luck the rest of the season. You're off to a good start.
I appreciate it.
All right, thank you. How about that, Kyle Welcher? How about a dude living in Opelika, Alabama, which is basically Auburn, and being a Roll Tide fan, an Alabama fan? That is pretty cool as well. All right, well, some of the guys around the office might not think that's pretty cool. Chris Mitchell and some of those Auburn fans down there, they might not like that so much. All right, let's get a break in here. We'll come back. Jake Davis joins us next, Conservation Director for Bass in Tennessee and one of the winners for the Conservation Award. That's next on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Yeah, welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And as I said, the Bass Conservation Team, Gene Gilliland, they announced three winners. They honored three people at the Bassmaster Classic with their Conservation Director of the Year awards. And basically, you know, they have this conference every other year. So Gene decided to go ahead and they'd award one for last year, this year, and next year, because there was just so many great candidates out there. Barb Elliott of New York, Bill Frazier of North Carolina, and my friend Jake Davis of Tennessee, named co-conservation directors of the year by Bass's National Conservation Director, Gene Gilliland. And joining us now is my good friend, Captain Jake Davis. Jake, welcome in. How are you, man?
Oh, we're doing great. Just, doing that social distancing, a lot of fishing, and enjoying life right now, I guess, to the fullest extent we can.
Yeah, absolutely. So. It's one of the things that we can still do. In some states, there are areas where they're actually shutting down lakes and so on. I know in the state of Tennessee, where you and I live, right now the ramps are still open, thank God, and we can get out there and enjoy it. And I've seen a ton of traffic. Even in the middle of the week, I'm seeing a lot of trailers. Of course, the good weather that we've had the last few weeks didn't hurt either.
Yeah, you know, everybody wanted to get out and enjoy the sun and, you know, have some fun. But, yeah, you know, a lot of states have lost their right to, you know, access to the ramps. Some states of Washington State actually closed down fishing completely. You know, Michigan has closed a lot of ramps and put their, you know, the guides cannot guide up there. And yeah, we've got to, you know, it's sort of up to us down here. you know, myself being a guide on the back in the background now, you know, it's sort of up to us in this area in Tennessee to figure out, you know, do we want to consider ourselves essential or what, you know, and I've shut my business down since March 20th. With what's going on, simply because, you know, the amount of stuff I do with kids and, you know, with the conservation stuff, we said, you know, we don't want to take a chance on getting sick here. So we just shut it down. And it's nice to be in that position to be able to do that.
Well, it's got to be tough, though, on the guides.
Can't do that.
Yeah, on the guides this time of year, it's got to be tough because this is where you make your hay. I mean, you know, whether it's Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas, Georgia, this is where the guides in this part of the country, that part of the country, are really going to make their year, really. And so it's really tough. I know there are guides that'll go, they, you know, they might go 30, 35 guide trips in 40 days, you know, at this time of year.
Well, you know, typically this time of year, and I look back, the wife and I look back to see what we had done this time of the year. And over the last 4 years, I've averaged, you know, between March, April, May, and early June, I've averaged 90 or better guide trips a year. And this is about 50% of my business is this time of the year. And I know that holds true for the rest of the guides that I know personally. On Gunnersville and in Tennessee here, this is going to hurt big time for the guides and the fishing industry.
Yeah, no doubt.
In this area.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Let's talk about
getting back to this conservation thing.
Yeah, let's talk about
it. It was a huge honor. I mean, it was totally unexpected. On you know, for me, people need to realize that bass conservation. A lot of your, we call them CDs, conservation directors at your state level. Are retired fisheries folks from, you know, TVA or from different, you know, U.S. Fish and Game Service. If you look at Gene Gilliland, he was, you know, he retired from state of Oklahoma, Department of Natural Resources. And that's what we go up against out here, and we all work together. And it's been a huge educational experience for me. You know, I felt like sometimes I've had to go back to school. But thankfully, you know, I've got some great people in the TWRA that have, you know, pointed me in the right direction, said, here, you know, do some research here or here. Or, Mark Rogers over Tennessee Tech, I'm telling you, these guys are great. And I got to, you know, give them a lot of credit for being the Conservation Director of the Year, along with the kids here in Tennessee High School Bass Nation. They do a lot of the work. I do a lot of the planning and go out and find the money to do these projects. And the kids actually, you know, fulfill their community service through Tennessee Promise, doing a lot of these habitat and conservation projects.
Yeah, no, that makes that makes perfect sense, of course. And, you know, and the thing is, your background, I mean, you've been a guide now for a number of years, but you're ex-military, you're an ex-trooper, you're a cop, you know what I mean? And now here you are, you know, just a couple of years as a conservation director in Tennessee, which, by the way, you know, being a conservation director in a state like Tennessee, that's a thing, no disrespect to any other states, but it's just such a huge deal, the outdoors in the state of Tennessee. And your bass is conservation director for that area, and it does seem like that's been the number one thing for you, to get the youth involved, get the high schools involved. You're involved, obviously, with the Bass Nation High School program in the state as well. But it's so great to get those kids involved in cleaning up the lakes. And people don't understand. You think that these are beautiful, pristine lakes. I live on Timms Ford Lake. You live on Timms Ford Lake. And you don't realize when you go out there just how much trash does end up on the shore and so on.
Oh.
And so it's really cool to see these kids out there cleaning up.
Well, you know, and we try and do it at a time of the year when we can have a big impact, like in the wintertime when all the foliage is off the shores and we can get in there and not get all tore up. But, you know, it's sort of a change in culture here across the country to get people to help. You know, remember the old commercials, you know, with the don't litter commercials that used to be on TV years ago?
Right.
We really need to see some of that stuff come back, because I'm going to tell you, Tom, you've seen it, I've seen it. Anytime that we can pick up 3 40-ton dumpsters full of garbage out of three lakes in Middle Tennessee, you know, we've got an issue, and I'm just blessed to have the time to and be able to, you know, scale back my guide service and be retired enough to, you know, put the extra time in and get the attention to where we need it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about one other thing too that people do from a fishing standpoint, because fishermen, you know, a lot of times the fishermen are very respectful of it. It's not the fishermen necessarily that are throwing trash in the lake. Sometimes it's the recreational folks or whatever, or it blows off their boats and so on. But from a fishing standpoint, talk about how to handle the plastics that you discard and the line that you discard. Because, you know, a lot of fishermen, they don't think about that, and they might just tear off a plastic that's tore up. I know I keep them in my boat and then put them in a pail in my garage. I actually want to kind of melt them down and build some of my own plastics. I want to, you know, mold some of my own stuff. But just talk about why you don't want to throw plastics in line and other fishing trash in the water.
Well, with the line and the plastics, the line will get, you know, that'll get tangled around other wildlife like ducks and turtles and all kinds of stuff that use the waterways besides us fishermen and anglers. So we try and, you know, encourage everybody to remove that line. Don't throw it in the water. There's several ramps around the state that we've put up line dispensary stations. And they actually collect that and send it back to Berkeley, and they can repurpose it. Several of your line companies do that. Berkeley's just the first one to come to mind. On the soft plastics, you know, how many times have you left your bait sitting out there, throw it out and reach down and get a drink of soda or water or coffee or whatever, have a sandwich, and all of a sudden your line takes off? Mm-hmm. What happens is a lot of these plastics are not, you know, 98% of them are not biodegradable. And a fish will eat them. And they get caught in their digestive system, and it'll end up killing them through starvation because they'll blow up. A neat little experiment that I taught some of the kids is take a quart jar and take just about any kind of plastic, whether it's a lizard or a worm or even a jig trailer, and fill that jar up with water, put that plastic in there, put the lid on and set it on the shelf for a week, and watch what happens to it. It will, sometimes it'll double in size, sometimes it'll go 10 times the size it is. It'll soak up and just expand, and that'll end up choking a fish off if they eat that, if we throw it in the water. Mm. And there's a lot of guys like you out there that want to repurpose that soft plastics and remelt them down. You know, we've got a competition with Tennessee Bass Nation High School where all the schools at the end of the year, if we ever get to have our state championship this year, will bring all their used soft plastics in and we'll weigh them up, and the winning school gets $1,000
wow.
Academy Sports gift card. That's how important it is to our programs. We've gone out and got stuff like that. There's a couple of folks around in the Winchester area here who are remelting them down and reusing them, and they'll gladly have them. I mean, last year it was one with 65 pounds of soft plastics.
Wow.
From one school.
That's
so
incredible.
You know, there's a lot of that stuff that's going on that people don't realize, and we try and put it out there. You know, and you mentioned, you know, with plastic bottles and stuff like that, a major source of that stuff, Tom, is not really the boaters out here, whether it's the, you know, weekend boaters or the anglers. It comes from our roadways. And I'll give you a good example go up the Awalt Bridge and look coming down that hill.
Yeah.
From the state park to Awalt Bridge, or over to Normandy going down Riley Creek Road, and just look in the ditch and look at the amount of cans and plastics that are in that ditch.
Well, you don't have to tell me.
Every year.
My wife and I walk the dog twice a day every day, and she takes a garbage bag with her and just constantly is picking up garbage along our walk. I mean, it's absolutely crazy. Jake Davis
and you live in town.
And I live right in the middle of town.
You live in town, but that'll eventually end up in Tim's Ford Lake if we don't pick it up.
No doubt about it. Jake Davis has been our guest. Jake, congratulations on the Conservation Award from Bass. We appreciate the work that you do so much, and keep up the good work and stay safe.
Hey, thanks, Tom. You too. And tell the wife we said hi.
I will do that. Absolutely. All right, we'll get a break in here. We'll come back with more right after this. This is Phoenix Boats, Bassmaster Radio, and the Bassmaster Radio.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio. presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back. Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And joining us now, Phoenix Pro Clifford Perch, who's won over $700,000 on the Bass Tour. And he has fished seven Bassmaster Classics as well. And he joins us now from his home out in Arizona. Clifford, welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Thanks. Just a nice morning out here. I'm on the hillside looking at a few elk here.
Wow. As this break, well, let's establish one thing. I mean, for you, social distancing isn't necessarily something new. I mean, you live out there in the country in Arizona. You like to hunt your own meat. You grow some food in your garden and so on. But some people know that you have MS, and that means you kind of are very, very careful with germs and so on, and making sure that you stay healthy as much as possible. So it's like the rest of the country has kind of caught up with what guys like you have been doing for a long time. Just talk about how it has been during this time and just the thought process of knowing that this virus is out there and it would be problematic for you.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty cautious. Like you said, I was a germaphobe before it was cool to be one. So I'm always pretty cautious. You know, things like getting gas and touching anything public. Using a lot of hand sanitizer. I've always got hand sanitizer. You know, before it went scarce, I've got it in all my vehicles and boat and all that stuff. And it's just something I do regularly. And since I've been doing that, I get sick a lot less often. You know, I used to get sick four or five times through a winter. And, typically the last, 6 or 7 years has been more like once.
Yeah.
So, it's really helped out a bunch. And, it's really something that I think a lot of folks are learning to do right now. We're in some crazy times. And I think about, the city people, this is really hard on them. You know, for me, fortunately, what I love to do is fish and get out in the woods. I mean, I'm looking at a mountain right now in front of me through my binoculars and got some bull elk. I've been watching them shed their horns and doing some horn hunting. And so this is just, it's an opportunity for me to do what I love to do. But, for a lot of the folks around the country, this is a real crazy time and a big interruption to their daily lives from health scares and just the danger of it and to the economy side. And, things shutting down, slowing down. And we went from a wide open economy and things booming to just a screeching halt as far as people, getting out there and doing things. It's just a crazy thing. No one would have expected it. It hit us quick. So really, really a wild deal. And I'm hoping that as the weather warms, maybe it starts to decrease, as everybody kind of does their deal to stay apart and this thing passes a little bit. Hopefully we can get back to some normalcy soon.
One of the things that we have been able to do in certain parts of the country is still fish and be on the water. I know where I live in Winchester, Tennessee, the home of Phoenix Boats, that our ramps have been packed. The weather's been beautiful over here. It's been in the mid-70s, and the water temperature's already up into the 70s, which is a little bit early for this time of year. But, a lot of folks are still getting out there on the water, maintaining that social distance, and it's one thing. I think fishermen, you two guys in a boat that's 20 foot long is one thing. It's another thing when you get a bunch of folks out there on a party barge or people going around on jet skis, tandem and that type of stuff. So we have to really kind of be careful. How is it in Arizona? Is all the water and the ramps still open?
Well, it's fortunately a couple of them are, the couple of the public lakes, for the most part, they just shut Lake Powell down this weekend, and like you said, some of the party aspect has really caused some issues. You hate to blame it on them, but sometimes the tournaments are as well. But we fished a tournament this weekend, and it was a single file drive through weigh-in, guy in the truck, one guy in the boat. You drop your fish on the scale as you go by, and
well, that's cool.
An online registration, the day before, and basically, you find out if you won later, and that's what happened. And, so it was a great run event, and being able to, fish a tournament, was a great opportunity. So, You know, at the same time, there was a ski boat. One of my buddies, you know, kind of hollered over when we were loading up. He yelled over, he said, "You see that?" And I was like, "Well, yeah." You know, I looked and there was a ski boat full of folks. And he said, "There was 19 people in a wakeboard boat," you know. And I was just like, well, that's the kind of stuff that could get you shut down. And so, you know, the Forest Service here has been trying to shut things down, and the Game and Fish, fortunately, and the governor have been fighting them on it. So we do have some places that are open, but I don't know for how long. You know, it's just, you know, it's a battle between some knuckleheads on the water and people that really enjoy getting out you know, are out there because that's what they love to do, not to be, you know, jam-packed with a bunch of people.
Yeah, Clifford Perch with us, joining us from Arizona. It's interesting, this past week the story came out that baseball was looking at possibly starting the season in Arizona in empty stadiums and having everybody in that same place. Do you think that, you know, in a place like that where it is warmer year-round, that maybe it is one of the safer places? And is it why you live out there in Arizona? I don't know if that's your original hometown. It would be more convenient to be in the Southeast where all the tournaments are and so on. But, you know, this area, it seems to be a little bit higher, you know, opportunity to get sick as opposed to being in Arizona where it's drier and there's more heat.
Yeah, you know, I just live here because I was born out here and I love the wide open, the mountains, the, you know.
Right.
I've got 70 miles of national forest all around, you know, to till the next town. So it's pretty... It's just home to me, and it's not a wise place to live as a pro bass fisherman when the tours are all based out of the South. You know, I'll be the first one to admit that it's just not very business smart, but it's hard for me to give up. I love it, you know, and it's, you know, obviously right now it's pretty beneficial to live here. Like I said, I'm looking at a herd of bull elk, watching them going into the trees, seeing if there's any of them left with horns. And, you know, I bought my first bass boat, with elk horn shed. So, you know, it's just a way of life for me and a lot of folks out here. We just enjoy the outdoors and you know, we do have some good bass fishing. So it's a great place, but like that baseball stadium trying to open up, you know, I could see them playing ball possibly without a full stadium of fans. You know, it is getting hot down there, and, you know, they're probably looking at getting close to 90 degrees down in the desert here pretty quick. So, I think that those types of conditions, from what I understand, are possibly favorable to, get rid of the virus. They're less likely to live long in that type of environment. There's not a lot that we know about it yet, but that is one thing that similar coronaviruses, and like flu viruses that tip, you know, kind of share, is that, as it gets hot and warm and bright sunlight, that's not real great conditions for them to thrive. So I could see those guys, you know, maybe getting something started again. And I think it'd be great. People miss that kind of stuff, you know. So, you know, who wouldn't love to see the Diamondbacks and the Cubs and the Dodgers and the Phillies and, you know, the Red Sox and whoever's your team, you know, playing again. You know, that'd be a big deal for folks stuck at home, especially if you're talking in some of these big cities, you know, back east.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Clifford Perch with us, Phoenix Pro Clifford Perch with us here, talking a little bit about what he's been doing during this shutdown in the tour, and the fact that he is, as he says, a germaphobe, but he has to be. He's got to be careful. He has MS, and that's something that he has to kind of be cognizant of. And when you think about that, you know, you guys at tournaments, I don't know, at the Bassmaster Classic, I must have shook hands with 400 people. I mean, it was just the last thing that we did before the shutdown happened, and people were being careful. But you also, you know, in any tournament scenario, when we get back to the Elite Series, hopefully by the Sabine River, we'll be able to go. But, you talk about using hand sanitizer. From a fishing standpoint, do you use it when you're out there fishing? Because, you know, fishermen, we're a little bit funny about what we put on our hands when we're handling the baits and so on. And then, you know, you're out there, wondering whether or not it impacts the odor that might be on a bait when you're fishing.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mention that. You know, most of them are just kind of an alcohol-based deal that kind of evaporates and is gone after a little bit. But I've had some of these little pocket ones, like at the Classic, and they've put cologne in them and everything else now. So, yeah, right. You're like, wow, that really is pretty powerful scent. So You know, I think if you're, you know, using a standard hand sanitizer, it probably wouldn't cause you any issues. You know, if there, say there's two guys in a boat and the one guy might pick up a rod, well, you know, it just doesn't hurt to throw on hand sanitizer if you touch a rod that someone else used. But, you know, in general, I don't think it's too big a deal. Like you said, you don't want to have the latest perfume attached to your jig head worm, but yeah. You know, there's some things you could also spray a little Bang on it or some other kind of little you know, shad or crawdad scent that you use and cover that real easily too.
And so maybe at the weigh-ins,
there's ways to get around it.
At the weigh-ins, just elbow bumps now with Dave Mercer for a little while. Maybe we just kind of give him a little elbow chop, maybe.
Yeah, and that is going to be an interesting change. I think we'll see that. You know, they were saying this will change the way we live again. You know, a lot like 9/11 did. And
right.
You know, at first that sounds crazy, but you know, we really will see some changes. You know, people will be a lot more germ conscious, and you know, that
good.
Might be a new way of life for us.
That might be a good thing. Maybe we'll have a lot less flu next year. You know, just because people are being conscious of this. All right, finally, in our last couple of moments, what is your gut feeling? I mean, we've canceled the leets up until now, the Sabine River, which would be May 29th through June 1st, and of course that's the week before the Texas Fest. What's your hope for those two events to happen, or do you think it'll be the New York swing before it happens, or do you think it doesn't happen at all this summer?
You know, I really, it's so hard to predict. I don't have any idea. You know, I'm just kind of hanging tight, and you know, I hope we see the numbers go way down, and where we are able to do some stuff. You know, I think they've made a good call so far. It would be really hard for 86 guys to be away from their families in kind of a time of you know, instability, and it's just. It's one of those crazy things, and we'll learn to deal with it. But hopefully we do get the season rolling. You know, my guess, your guess is as good as mine. I really have no idea. But like I said, if we see the numbers start to go down, then maybe it'll happen. I'd sure like to get some of the season going. I hate to miss the spawn cycle. You know, that hurts for me. I really, really enjoy that part of the season. And it looks like we're going to kind of miss that. But you know, there'll still be some fishing out there down the road, hopefully.
And those ones that got postponed, who knows? Those could be fall tournaments, and that would be a whole new experience. We could see some great, great Elite Series events in the fall. If they can play the Masters in November, we can certainly fish Chickamauga in November as well, if it comes to that. So it'll be interesting to see the way the rest of this season plays out. Clifford Perch has been our guest. Clifford, we appreciate you so much. Enjoy your time out there with the elk and the antlers and all that other good stuff that you're doing, and we'll hopefully see you back out on tour soon enough when things get going again.
You bet. Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, thank you. There you go, Clifford Perch joining us here on Bassmaster Radio, and an interesting story that he has as well. This is nothing new for him. He knows how to kind of take care of himself and keep himself safe. All right, we'll get a break in here. We'll come back and wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and as we idle the show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. First off, we want to send out all our thoughts and prayers to three-time Bassmaster Angler of the Year, Aaron Martins, who had brain surgery earlier this week on two tumors in his brain. Apparently, one of them was removed and the other was biopsied, and again, our thoughts and prayers are with Aaron for a speedy recovery from that. Marshall spots are available for regular season Elite Series events for just $99 per tournament. As part of the program, at every tournament, participants will enjoy an exclusive dinner and a meet and greet with all of the elite anglers, as well as receive official Bassmaster Marshall apparel and products from tournament sponsors. Visit Bassmaster.com/elite for Marshall registration. And the 2020 BassPro.com open season did get underway before everything was shut down temporarily. Visit Bassmaster.com/open. For all the info you need to get registered for the series. degrees. It's the highest level a co-angler can fish and is a tremendous way to hone your skills, learn from the pros, and maybe even make a few bucks as you compete against other co-anglers. This year's pro field is better than ever, so grab a co-angler spot now and stay tuned for new tournament dates coming up. While you are at Bassmaster.com, click on Sweepstakes for information on how to get into the Hummingbird Minn Kota One Boat Challenge drawing as well. And don't forget to sign up for Rapala Fantasy Fishing at Bassmaster.com. Each week's winner will win $4,000 in cash and prizes, $4,500 if you're a member of BASS. And this year, over 190 places will win prizes for each event, and the grand prize is over $20,000 in cash and prizes. Just go to Bassmaster.com and click on Fantasy for rules and to get in today. And while you're at it, join our Bassmaster Radio group, where each event's winner will receive a rod and reel combo from Enigma Fishing, and everyone that finishes ahead of me is entered into a drawing for a prize package from visitanderson.com, Rapala, Missile Baits, and Phoenix Boats. Just search Bassmaster Radio under the Groups tab. Now, as far as the upcoming tournament schedule, tournaments are in the process of being rescheduled, so make sure you check back frequently throughout the week to see when those new dates are available. Remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's always just a click away at Bassmaster.com/radio, or hit the watch button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Plus, if you have any questions or a guest you'd like to hear, or a technique featured in our Technique of the Week, just tweet it to us at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio, or hit the Facebook page at Facebook.com/BASS and leave us a comment. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the